as we welcome Peter Armitage from Anchor, is the move on interest rates. And Peter, you've been doing work on the banking sector, and I was just wondering if the banking shares and the work that you've been doing are actually still offering value, given that we're going into a reducing interest rate cycle.
Yeah, I think yesterday we were looking at the banking sector, which is up about 30% off its lows of a few months ago. But almost all of that has come from a change in rating as opposed to a change in forward earnings expectations. So it really is all just about confidence levels improving. On the ground, we're starting to see some benefit coming through from all the good things that are going on. But I think a much more positive vibe, people prepared to employ, people prepared to spend a bit more money. And it's really a confidence of factors. The government of national unity, interest rates are starting to come down. We've seen about 25 billion rand come in from the two-pot retirement system. And we haven't had load shedding for 200 days. So I think, you know, it's really great to feel that way, because the last 6-7 years we've been feeling negative in the SA markets. And I think, like most of the fund managers out there, the confluence of factors coming together now are making for a very powerful cocktail.
If you have a look overseas, and we do take our direction from the United States, they've been powering ahead year to date. The S&P is up 23%. Last week was its sixth consecutive weekly gain. It's almost like what's going on in geopolitics around the world doesn't seem to be scaring investors at all.
Yeah, it's we are starting to get a little bit nervous about, I think the right word is complacency. So when the market's in this kind of mood, there isn't much bad news that brings it down. And we're starting to, you know, you must also remember that there were, I think, about $6 trillion of money sitting in money market funds. And as rates come down, you know, if you were earning 5.3% in the JP Morgan money market fund, that's now come down to 4.8. And it's going to come down to 3.5 in line with rates, as we were talking earlier. So suddenly people are saying, hold on, I'm not getting rewarded that much. I need to be beating inflation with my investments. So, you know, the equity market becomes more of an option. So I think higher rates, in many cases, kind of kept people out of equity markets. But we are fairly nervous. Valuations are getting close to the most expensive they've been in 20 years, Alec. So that can't be ignored. You know, we're still keeping clients in their equity portfolios, but with new money, we're deploying it quite cautiously. Because you don't know what the next thing is that can give the market a bit of a correction. But certainly it's priced for perfection. So we really, you know, the market can't afford for anything to go wrong. You can see a quick correction. But, you know, overall, the underlying economies, US economy is pumping. And it is ignoring the geopolitical risk, because it's assuming that those will not impact the earnings of US companies. I think that's probably the best way to put it.
Also, going back to that fund manager survey, there was a distinct movement from international markets to local markets in recent months by fund managers. But I'm wondering whether you're seeing international investors starting to nibble at South Africa, given everybody knows that America, as you've just articulated, is in high territory, that one should be looking for better value elsewhere. And I guess South Africa must be among them.
Yeah, so quite a bit of money is flowed into the bond market. So over 40 billion rand of foreign money is flowed into the bond market, where, and guys have done very well. Bond funds are up about 20% this year as bond yields have come down. Bonds are easy because it's just a simple interest rate calculation. Companies are more difficult because there's company fundamentals and, you know, underlying growth in the country. So you haven't seen an en masse entry of foreign investors into the SM market yet. I think they're waiting to see some evidence of the sustainability of the GNU and the impact of all the things that I'm talking about coming through in earnings. And we are at quite a delicate stage in South Africa, where South African fund managers have got confidence because they can look forward. Foreigners are a little bit more skeptical, perhaps. You know, if you think back to the last Ramaphosa episode, share prices went charging upwards, but nothing really changed on the ground. So I think there's, you know, we think we're leveling off a bit in the SA market. But if we can get another leg and all of the stories that the fund managers are now telling comes to pass and flows through in South African earnings, there can still be quite another big jump. South African shares are still, less than half the price of American shares for the same rand or dollar of earnings. So there is some quite nice upside if it can be sustained.
We are going to have a chat a little later to Stephen Hurwitz of 361 about the announcement coming out of NICEPASS yesterday. But just your perspective on what's going on at those two companies. It is their 100 days. Never heard of this before, but I'm sure it can't be the first time that a CEO has, like a politician, brought out their 100-day statement. What did you make of what the CEO of NICEPASS, the new CEO of NICEPASS, had to say?
Yeah, I guess it's reminded me a little bit of Joe Biden or President Ramaphosa in terms of putting a target on things. So I think, not surprisingly, the message is positive. Talks big picture numbers, saying that the process is worth $100 billion and he wants to create another $100 billion of value. And the market is kind of looking at it. It's been in the hands of other guys for the last 10 years, and the non-Tencent businesses have been a real disappointment. But they're all making some quite nice predictions now. I think they're taking some action. I think NICEPASS over the last 5 years was prepared to sit on businesses with an IT mindset going, they're going to break even one day. I think they're now looking at those businesses and saying, you're going to make some cash and create the value and give us a business that we can transact with if we want to in the short term. And if you can't make cash in 6 months, do you have a place in our stable? So I think those are the kind of messages that he's sending through. I think the 100-day announcement is always going to be a positive kind of marketing spin. But they're talking about making $400 million from e-commerce now, where it was making a big loss if you go back 6-12 months ago. But the fact remains that in NICEPASS and Prosus, they're trading at about a 40% discount to the sum of their parts, which is a negative vote from the investment market. It's saying that they don't like what they're doing outside of Tencent. And that's really what has to be addressed. And it'll probably take more than another 100 days for the market to be convinced of that.
Well, the whole story of Tencent was in the latest FT news briefing. Not Tencent specifically, but Chinese shares. Let's have a listen.
Share buybacks on China's biggest exchanges have hit a record high this year, about $33 billion in 2024 so far. That's more than double last year's total. Beijing has been pushing companies to return cash to shareholders to help boost China's stock market. It's part of a huge stimulus plan officials have launched to rescue the country's struggling economy. And it seems to be working. The benchmark CSI 300 index has gone up more than 20% over the past month. But the jury's still out on whether the rise in buybacks will solve all of China's economic problems. Third quarter GDP data came in at only 4.6% on Friday. That's below China's all-important 5% target.
Are Tencent buying back shares, Peter? Do you know?
Yeah, they have been. Tencent are sitting in a very cash generative position, making very good money. They're trading at about a forward 16p multiple. They started focusing on profitability rather than wild turnover growth. I think they're doing all the right things. So the share price has actually done pretty well over the course of the last little while. But NICEPASS and Prosus haven't kept up. That's the bottom line from our perspective.
And another little point that I'd like to pick up on is Disney. There's been a big change there with the new Disney CEO. Let's listen again to the FT's take on it.
Disney is looking to shake things up. The company appointed former Morgan Stanley boss James Gorman as its new chair yesterday. He'll take over the role in 2025. Gorman's main focus will be to find a replacement for longtime chief executive Bob Iger. Gorman wants to have a successor in place by early 2026. Disney has spent basically a decade now trying to find a new CEO, And oh boy, has the saga been popcorn worthy. Iger extended his contract multiple times before stepping aside in 2020. But then he returned to the position in 2022 after his hand-picked successor was unceremoniously ejected from the role. So now we'll be keeping an eye, Gurr, on who's next.
Any thoughts on that one, Peter?
Yeah, I was looking at the Disney share price here in front of me. So at the beginning of 2021, it was $200 a share and it's sitting at $100 one, two, three, 4 years later. So, you know, Bob Iger came in as a temporary CEO. He was the CEO years back to kind of rescue a business that had gone through the floor. Disney changed their strategy towards digitization and, you know, effectively launched and put all their efforts behind a Netflix competitor. Netflix has reached a new high, so Disney's still got to kind of get there and prove that its brands can attract the same kind of customers as, and they can make the same sort of business model as a Netflix. But I think, you know, what you see with these big media companies, the CEO and the strategic direction is incredibly important. So having somebody of that stature, I think, is positive. I don't think it's market moving because it's the chairman, you know, that's the actual CEO that the chairman appoints. It's going to be the big one. But Disney's got, you know, its whole media business, its parks business is doing very well. Its travel and entertainment business is doing well. But it's got to start making and convincing the market that its Disney online product presence and subscription is something that's got sustainable growth. And the share price is indicating that the market hasn't decided yet.
Peter Armitage is with Anchor. Thanks for your contribution today, Peter. Look forward to the next time.